Hello, true believers. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti. And with me, as always, are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. P features.
Hello, Internet.
And then there's Maurer.
Excelsior.
And baby Huey.
What's going on?
Enough said.
That's the end.
So we still aren't better.
No.
From Wednesday. But
and we can still, let's peel behind the curtain. It's still Tuesday for us. We didn't record on our normal Mondays because of what happened with Stan. We're still going to keep this topic on there. It's going to probably be in our news and our topic for the next little bit.
But what we wanted to make sure we do today is honor and celebrate the life of Stan Lee and not to mourn and to miss. I mean, we are going to inevitably mourn and miss one of the most influential people of our time, and especially in our lives, but a man who lived to 95 and accomplished what he did deserves to be celebrated for all of the awesome achievements and the wonderful things that he did to influence who we are as people. We are all better. Well, everyone but Maurer is better at this table because of Stan Lee. Well, we all agree. I mean, you know what? Actually, Maurer probably is better. He could have been way worse.
This is true.
I mean, however, we never did get the answer about the thing. I mean, is he all stone?
We're starting with Mallrats.
The big orange stone dork.
We're starting with Mallrats. So for if anybody is unaware of the joke that Maurer is making right now, is that in the movie Mallrats for Kevin Smith, you have probably, arguably, the best of all Stan Lee's cameos. What he talks about, we'll say orange organs.
Yeah, orange stone hard organs.
Yeah, I'll make sure that scene's in the show post so everybody can watch that, because that is the best cameo.
But even the end of that cameo where he's a little touching, and it's dealing with breakup, and Brody turns to him and goes, so Stan, would you give it all up? And he just interrupts him. He's like, yep, I'd give everything up just for one more day with her. And you feel like that, even though it was written by Kevin Smith, and it wasn't really the Vulture soliloquy, it was just a made-up thing, which they then turned into a comic kind of later on, a few years later. You know, he was talking about his life and his love for Joni and how, for him, that was his greatest adventure.
But, I mean, one of the coolest things about Stan Lee, especially the legacy that he left behind, is that he's not going anywhere. That man would just nonstop work. So that means he was in like the highest of high budget Hollywood movies to your lowly YouTube shows. You would find Stan Lee anywhere. He did Superhero Beatdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Superpower Beatdown. Yep. He did How It Should Have Ended. He had Stan's Rants. Remember Stan's Rants, where he talked about, like, why isn't there Thor ice cream?
I mean, he had cameos in both DC and Marvel movies.
Yeah. Well, beyond just, I mean, Marvel. Saying he has a cameo in a Marvel movie is like saying there needs to be a period at the end of a sentence.
No, he was the star in all the Marvel movies.
That's one of the other great quotes of him. You know, I appreciate everybody coming to see me in these movies, and of course, sticking around for the rest of the film.
Well, it's true. It's true.
So that's really what we wanted to do today is a non-scripted. No, we don't really have notes. We just want to sit and remember who the man was and celebrate his achievements. Because man,
well, Stan Lee was our watcher.
See, he was Uatu. Yeah. He is our Uatu. Like, I saw somebody, so there's so much great fan art, by the way. Boss Logic's fan art. If you don't follow him on Instagram, you really should. He had some wonderful ones, but one of my favorites.
Don't look at his art right now unless you want to cry, like, man tears.
But, yeah, absolutely. that's a lot of the art that's out there right now.
Yeah.
I completely lost my train
of thought. The Uatu.
Yeah, Uatu. Perfect. So they took that scene with him in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And they just said, "All right, you ready to go home?
Jenny's waiting for you."
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that wasn't the one that made like the tears flow though. There's one of him at the gates, and he's like, "Is this another cameo?" He's like, "Nah, this is a full feature."
Yeah,
lost it.
I like the other one that has just the voice of God while he's at the gates. Says, "You're not that bad at making universes yourself, kid."
I mean, for a guy that started off as, you know, born in the 20s, going through
1922,
going through the Depression and
son of an immigrant too.
And making, you know, he is the American dream.
He is indeed.
You know, he didn't take no for
an
answer.
Stanley Lieberman. What's his name? What's his
Stanley,
full name?
Lieberman.
Lieberman?
Sir Lieber. Where did you put the...
Stanley Martin Lieber.
Lieber, yeah. That's it. So
that's where the M... I'm like, wait, where'd you get the M from? But Martin was his middle name. But he went by Stan Lee because he wanted... Well, one, he likes those short names.
Well, he was also embarrassed at first.
Yeah.
He was also embarrassed to be a comic book writer. He has a great quote. It's been passed around a million times, so I'm going to butcher it because I'm not going to read it because you can go to any comic Twitter page or YouTube or
right
or
now they have
Instagram
it.
Page. You'll see this quote up there, but he just talks about how there he goes. He was always ashamed and embarrassed to be a comic book writer because he could be out there doing things like building bridges. Right. But what he realized later in life is that entertainment is the most important, is one of the most important things in anybody's lives.
Well, his first published thing was a 2-page text filler in a Captain America book. Like that was his first published writing. Was
he also? But he had writing credits in the horror books back then, in the romance books back then. He was just like the filler, and like at like what was he 22?
In his 20s, he was just a kid. He did. I mean, he just wanted to be there. He wanted to be in entertainment. He wanted to write. He wasn't a half bad artist for himself because he did sketch and do some drawings. In the military, he wrote the training manuals, but the famous picture that, you know, always gets tweeted is him sitting there sketching at a military, like, art thing and helping do some of the drawings for those things. Mm. He was just someone who wanted to be a part of something. And I think that him wanting to be a part of something is what led him to create this world where we get to be a part of something.
I just think he likes to create. I mean, that's his whole MO. It's everything. Like, he says it's work. But at the same time, he says it does not really work. So this is just a guy who likes to be a part of creating things. So much so that there was an interview last year where he said that he had over 50 characters that he recently developed that he didn't release just because he didn't feel like it was a good time for it, that maybe one day he would release them. But that means that we potentially have an entire new Stan Lee universe on the horizon.
We know of one with his daughter, JC.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt man.
The dirtiest of the dirt. Dirt man.
Dear Tay.
But he even made that weird iPhone game, Velocity or Velocitum or whatever it was called, where he's just like, you were a superhero, but your whole thing was to fall. Like there was like a monster or something at the core of the planet and you were supposed to try and kill it. But the whole thing is you jump out of this ship and you just try and not die. It's like an endless runner. That ends with you fighting this big monster at like the center of the earth. And it's just you avoiding things. But there was so much lore in it. Like it wasn't like it was just a hodgepodge thrown together quick iOS game. Like he put so much time and effort into this character that was meh. Just some iPhone meh that nobody talks about or knows about anymore.
Hey, Stan, can we put your name on a game? Yeah, I got some ideas for you.
Yeah, right. I guarantee you that's what it was. And then there's what was that made for TV movie? Or was it? It was in Blockbuster. Light Speed. Yeah, it's a Stan Lee original. That's like I don't think there was like a real studio behind. I could be wildly off on this one again, unscripted or unrehearsed show. Mm-hmm. But I should say script is a bad word.
Yeah,
unnotated,
unmowered.
I don't know what it would.
Let's just stick with
we just don't have
right
notes.
We normally have lots of notes.
Anyway, yeah, we're more prepared, and that's on by design. But my point is that this movie is against the grain. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just a guy who was like, I got another hero.
And then you have like the Stan Lee superheroes TV show.
Yeah, but I was just looking that up. It's, who wants to be a superhero?
No, didn't he had the show where he
superhumans.
Was actually following actual people doing vigilante worker. Like,
well, that was, life. Do you want to be a
that
superhero?
That was one.
But then there
about.
Was also Stan Lee Superhumans, which was like a documentary series
that found people who
had
actually,
crazy abilities.
Yeah.
That was an awesome show.
But wasn't there also a scripted superhero show that he came up with, too?
I would say there's a
possibly?
Lot of them.
Possibly.
Possibly.
I would say there's probably 12 in his desk drawer right now.
I mean, he did a ton of really cool things. And I don't think he said no to anything. Like, they were like, hey, do you want to be in this or do you want to be a part of that? Sure. I mean, because he just wanted to work with people and create. When he was with, what was it, Pow Comics? One of the writers came to him and was like, hey, Power Boom, whatever the comic company he was a part of. And he's like, we're about to put this out. And it was like 2 days to the deadline. And they were going, he's like, ah, I got some ideas that I'd like you to change in that. And he is the editor. So they're like, oh, okay. And he gave the guy like all these notes and like backstory and like things that would make it better. So the writer and artist weren't always there. So the guy's like, I wrote it myself and I edited the panels around and I brought it back to Stan the next day. Super, super nervous that I'm bringing something to Stan Lee. And he was like, well, it reminds me when I was back working with Ditko and all those guys. Like, he just wanted to make those around him better and create and help other people create. And you see it in everything he put his name on. Even the Romeo and Juliet book that I have.
Oh, your hidden Stan Lee gem?
Like, he put his name on that and had a heavy hand in reimagining a Romeo and Juliet story. Like, it's just amazing all the different things that you can go, I want to consume Stan Lee art or, you know, a comic or a show or an audio book or.
Well, go a little bit further into like how wild he was when he came to creating, like how, like, okay, take Galactus, mm-hmm. right? When we think Galactus, we think big purple dude who eats planets, right? It's par for the course.
Purple
it is
people eater.
It's right. Yeah. He's got the two eyed. Two horned,
flying purple planet eater.
Purple planet eater.
two horned, flying purple planet eater.
And we take it for granted because we're just so used to him being such a staple at Marvel. But the idea of creating a character that was so larger than life that the heroes had no chance of winning, that they only really could do is scare him away, was new. That was an entirely new concept. Like, all of our Thanos is, and our giant world-destroying Omega-level things, the threats that are out in the Marvel and DC universe to a degree, are because of Galactus and the Galactus trilogy. How crazy is that?
That giant purple top.
Well, actually, he wasn't even purple at first. He was, like, green and red.
Definitely green.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was green and red. But remember also, Galactus doesn't look like a person. He just looks like a person to humans. Like, aliens will see Galactus
differently.
Yeah, so he'll still have the same kind of helmet and stuff, but whatever creature sees him, that's how they... Like, for example, I guess if he would have gone to Groot, the Planet X...
He would look like a tree.
He would have been like a big tree with a helmet on. So, but yeah, I'm pretty sure...
That universe full entirely of shrimp. He just looked like a giant shrimp.
Wow. I mean, I didn't want to have to do this, but I guess we're going to end one and two.
Earth 2!
If you're new around here, that's where we're not quite sure how your brain got to shrimp.
I forget what book that is, but there's a book where they're talking about like the different dimensions, and they was like, yeah, there was one where everybody was made of shrimp.
And
popped in my head.
And two.
Earth 2!
You can't earth to me for the same thing twice.
Oh, it just
you
happened.
You don't make up the rules, Mr. Man.
I am Grootactus.
And one.
And two.
Earth 2!
Oh, I am Grootascus. What? I don't even know what
Grootactus.
Grootalactus? No. No. Yeah. We're going to stop.
Wouldn't it just be I am Groot?
Yeah, it would be just I am Groot. It would be just I am Groot.
All right. Moving on. It is fun just talking, like, trying to have a smile again, talking about Stan. I know it just happened, but...
Well, you have to. I mean, I know it's sad, and I know I understand everybody's feelings and how hard this is, but he's 95 and lived, like, the coolest life ever.
So, I get what you're saying, but again, like I said
before... And I'm going to let you finish in a minute.
Like I said before the last show, it was just like Michael Jackson. Like, in my personal opinion, I felt like I have a short list of people who I felt like should have outlived the pyramids. And Stan Lee was one of them.
But Michael Jackson...
Should have outlived the pyramids.
But Michael Jackson also didn't die the same way that Stan Lee did.
He did not.
Stan Lee died of pneumonia at 95, which is par for the course at 95. I mean... The man made it to an age that we would be lucky to get close to.
You're right.
Yeah, some of the best quotes are like, you know, no matter what he was going through, I always thought he would live to 110. Like, people just had that expectation of no matter how old or how bad his health was, we just have a couple more years with Stan. Like, he's going to make it through this because he's made it through so much, especially in the past 10 years and health-wise and all that, that, you know what? This is just another health scare. He's going to be cool. He'll go off the radar for a month or two and then come back.
Even with the added emotional drama and like in his surrounding his life. And so it was like, you know.
Maybe he had a good idea. He was thinking that we do first Stanley memory. So what was your first memory of a Stanley?
Kick us off, baby Huey.
I got it. I got you. I got you. Don't worry.
No, I got it. No, it's my idea.
Wow. You can't say it in the microphone.
I got it.
I got it.
Okay.
So mine would be, growing up watching all the cartoons, Stanley introducing the Marvel Action Hour, I believe it was called.
What was it? Was Spider-Man and then?
No, it was Fantastic Four and Hulk. Or even Iron Man, depending on when they were swapping shows up. But those, like this, yeah, I think it was like UPN back then or whatever. But yeah, those types of shows. He would introduce the whole hour.
Yeah, it was cool seeing Stan do that.
How about in The Amazing Spider-Man? That episode where Spider-Man actually takes Stan web-slinging?
So in the series finale of the 90s Spider-Man, Spider-Man gets transported to our Earth. And he sees the actor playing Spider-Man. And he talks to him for a little while. And he goes, you need to go meet somebody. And he walked in the door and Stan's there. So the cartoon was talking to Stan Lee.
And then he left
him up on the roof, and Stan's like, how am I going to get down from here?
What about you, Menti, your first?
Oh, Baby Huey just explained mine. That's what I was trying to say. The Baby Huey just went on a
rant.
I'm
sorry.
He's got it.
I was getting at. But no, what Huey said.
All right, I'm going to say something. You ready, Huey?
Ready. Start it off so I can steal it.
No, for me, it really was seeing him in the back of every Marvel comic I read.
Damn it.
Don't worry, baby. He was going to explain it for both of us.
So at the end of every comic.
God damn it.
No, but and it's weird. We always joke on the show. Like for me, I really was into following writers and artists and all that. And I kind of have to think that Stan Lee and his soapbox are the reason that, because he talked about that writer's room and then that artist room like it was a superhero atmosphere and everybody was, you know, running around and crazy and everything's going on, and like he made all of them such larger than life characters.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality they were probably just all working, but like he made it like, and this is going on, and then you've got Ditko over here and all this stuff's going on, and like you were like, oh my god, these guys are real life superheroes. I want to see what they're doing.
He'd also have that caricature of him in the back as well. So that was like my first glimpse of what Stan Lee looked like. And so that kind of made me like want to figure out like, who is this guy? Like I see all the time. Like,
and the character changed over years where it was mostly dark hair with just a little tuft of white on the side.
Yeah.
And then now we get like the all white hair Stan. Always had the sunglasses.
I don't know if that was his choice.
He could have dyed it.
You ever see somebody with 90 years old with dyed hair?
Yeah.
It's a bad look. You did a good job, Stan.
But yeah, I mean, your first impression of Stan, I mean, everybody got in. Let's talk about like the Shuckies. Like Shuckies first.
And that's
Stan.
It's crazy that Shuckies, like, he was broken up. He came up right up and hugged me. I mean, he was. It hit him and hurt him as well. And this is a person who like literally is new to this world. But he got to know Stan through the cameos.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, through those cameos, like for people that only got into this world through the movies, like seeing him repetitively in that nature, you'd have to figure out he has to be somebody important, even if he has nothing like directly to do with the movies.
See, I think everybody knows who Stan Lee is.
Well,
I think people know
except
Stanley.
For Tony Stark.
Well, but Tony Stank.
Hey,
but yeah, he didn't know him either, Mr. Stank. I think he will go down in history as the major artistic icons that everybody knows his name. Everybody knows, oh, that's the Marvel guy. Especially with how big the movies and stuff have become.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inevitable.
I think.
Well, I think we've got three more cameos of him left.
Yeah. Well, Avengers 4 is definitely filmed. Well,
all the movies that have been that are coming out that we know to come out, he's probably going to be in those.
It's in Captain Marvel.
Yeah, he's going to be in Captain Marvel.
And Avengers. Avengers. Yeah. I think he's got one more film.
Maybe the Spider-Man.
Far From Home.
Yeah, probably Far.
Well,
From
Home. Well, I bet you that the cameos just turn into photos and paintings, and just like in the Netflix world.
Right.
In the Netflix world, he's murals, or he's like, he was the cop, like the employee of the month guy on the back. Like, yeah. That's yeah. what he'll become. He'll still be there, but one of these movies, we won't get the actual cameo, and we'll get that final rolling credit.
And then you're going to see an entire room just break down in tears. Because the first time that we see that, it's going to...
All right, we want to keep the energy up, Mr.
Sorry.
Maurer. We're going to keep the energy up, Mr. Maurer.
It's hard.
I know. Especially now that you told him it's Tuesday and we just finished recording the sad one.
But no, do you think they'll CGI him?
No. God, no. I'd be furious if they did.
No, don't do that. That'd be worse than the Tupac hologram. Mm,
I understand doing it for Leia in that one scene because Leia is a fictional character, but Stan, no. Hands off. No.
I want somebody to put all of the cameos. Like, I know you got, like, the supercuts of them, but I want them to release that. Like,
as its own thing.
Yeah, its own thing. Here's the Stanley
cameos. You know what?
Maybe
that's what they do at the final Marvel movie that he doesn't have a cameo.
That'll be...
They just roll all of his cameos at the end.
That'd be dope.
Because I'm sure there's behind-the-scenes stuff for it. Like, you could put out probably a really cool thing for those cameos.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and there's probably some other footage of him where he's just a last message to leave, like, what his thoughts were for Marvel. For this, like, this world in general, like how he saw things.
Did you guys see the Marvel, actual thing they released on YouTube? It was so well done with Joe Quesada.
Not ready to watch it.
It's really. I'll make sure again. It's in the show post so everyone can see it as well. It's worth your time. I guarantee you they do some kind of like ABC special remembering Stan, like something that has the entire industry involved. I bet you that comes.
Of course,
they did that with Captain America. You know what I mean? They better do it for Stan.
They did it for Mickey last week for his birthday. So yeah, they'll definitely do something for Stan.
Like, do you remember that moment when Jack Kirby was being honored at D23, and Stan Lee showed up for the honoring, and he broke down on stage.
Yep.
I mean, I love the thought of the two of them reconciled and together.
Yeah.
I'm not one for. I'm not a religious person at all, but I believe in an afterlife for that reason.
So they could bury the hatchet and
go on the next adventure.
Way to bring us down, Menti.
That's supposed to be helpful. Hopeful. He's out doing awesome stuff in the cosmos.
It wasn't. Sorry, bro.
So if we take the Mallrats cameo off the table for your choice of favorite, what's your favorite cameo?
Oh, it's got to be Guardians. Guardians 2. With all the Watchers,
yeah.
When he was with the because remember when it was a fan theory yeah. that he was a Watcher, and that's what then all of the Marvel movies, then the X-Men and everything is actually tied in because he's Uatu the Watcher, and then all of a sudden he popped up as with the Watchers. I'm like, James Gunn, I can hug you.
Yeah,
I think mine the Incredible Hulk. When he drinks the soda.
Oh, he drinks the soda.
And you just see him like get energized from it. Like, you know, I loved all the cameos. I think the ones where it was just like the real short, it gave you that moment in the movie. You're like, oh, I can't wait. Where's he going to be? What's he going to do? Stan's going to be in this.
The best cameo, though, hands down, Amazing Spider-Man. When he's cleaning and the fight's going on behind him.
that was pretty good.
Well, that to me is the best Spider-Man scene because of that. Like, it reminds me of the comic book of him crashing through and you having that unknowing.
That's how they would write a Spider-Man fight when there's like bystanders around. Like, he'd do anything in his power for them not to get hit or be a casualty of something because of him.
How about him in Iron Man 2? No, it was Fantastic Four. It was Fantastic Four.
The mailman?
No.
Oh, I'm on the list.
But I'm Stan Lee.
Yeah.
But I'm Stan Lee.
Sure, buddy.
Because that was a reference to the comic where he was actually on the guest list. Like, him and Kirby were guests at the wedding.
Oh, and then what was in Iron Man 2 that he was Hugh Hefner?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, Hugh?
just kind of looked around. Wait, what?
I really enjoyed I enjoyed his appearance in probably all of the Spider-Man movies, especially Homecoming. Like the specific part they had him in. And he goes,
oh, sorry. He was Hugh Hefner in Iron Man 1. He was Larry King.
That's right.
That makes sense.
Go ahead. What were you saying, Feach?
But yeah, in Homecoming, when Spider-Man stops the dude from getting into his own car, he goes, "Hey, punk, don't make me come down there."
How's your mom? What was it? How's your mother?
Hey, Margie.
How's your mother? What was the one? You know what his favorite cameo was?
What was it?
What?
Deadpool.
Yeah.
He's in the strip club.
Now on stage. That dirty old chastity.
He also guest starred in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. He was the janitor. And they actually had one episode before he stopped recording where it was like the entire episode was him being like a secret agent. Like he took the broom apart and made it a weapon, helped Fireman fight. I can't talk.
Spider-Man. Yeah.
You know, Spider-Man, he spites a lot.
If it wasn't for the fact that this is a Stan Lee special, that would so be the name of this issue.
Spider-Man spite. Well, you could put that in the Stan Lee.
So you know how Maurer's the hoodie? Like that's his superhero alter ego?
Yeah.
Spider-Man is now Baby Huey's alter ego.
But not with a GHT, with a D.
Fighter.
F-I-D-E-R.
Fighter-Man.
Fighter-Man.
What the hell's a fighter? What's a fighter do?
Spite.
We all needed that one.
Thanks, Baby Huey.
We all appreciate
you.
You're
all
Huey.
Welcome.
Spider-Man.
My
goodness.
Oh, I'm lightheaded now.
All right, what other cameos? Give me another one. What's your... Wow, everybody? Really? My favorite. I loved Age of Ultron.
Which one?
When he was the... when he drinks Thor's alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Hand it over, Blondie, or whatever does he call him?
Oh, no. You know, one of my other favorite ones was in Black Panther. That was kind of like... that was real funny for me, because then, you know, when T'Challa, like, wins the table and just walks away, and Ross goes, "Hey, you just got the..." Then, like,
he just goes,
"Don't worry about this. I'm going to hold this for him over here.
I got this. Don't worry." And that's funny because, like, even Stan Lee said in an interview, he goes, "If I got a superpower, I would definitely not go out there and use it to help people. I'd figure out how to make a buck."
Oh, but when it's the bus driver just in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah. Mm. You guys never seen an alien before?
The funny thing is, in the Marvel world, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the first Ninja Turtles. Look like sort of a big turtle in a trench coat. You're going to LaGuardia, right?
Yeah, and I love that in all those, they still got the Stan Lee humor.
Yeah.
You know, because you see him and he's like this, you know, kind, gentle, older guy. But he had a raunchy sense of humor for some of these things.
Yeah.
And you got some of, you know, that off-kilter humor from him. I can see why the Deadpool cameo was his favorite.
But you know, I think it was in the Marvel memorial video that they did on YouTube that they were talking about the essence or the stage show that is Stan Lee, like the persona that he put out when he would be in the public eye
versus him at home.
But I think, and I don't know the man, but I think that over time that's who he became. Like I just think he was genuinely like that. Like he was always excited and like I love when he was doing the interview. I forget what movie he's at the premiere for, and they're interviewing him, and he can't stand still. Like he's just bouncing, like he's so excited to answer the question.
Know what to do?
Yeah, right. Like this is amazing. Just get to your question. Every time you see a picture with him, it's the biggest smile in the world, and he's always got like the huge gestures. An 80-some-year-old guy is doing Spider-Man poses. Well, like he's doing superhero landings, you know?
The thing I sent you guys last night when Jimmy Kimmel's security guard, Guillermo, was on the red carpet, and Stanley comes by, and Stanley didn't know, it wasn't set up, and Guillermo goes, "I want to play superheroes with you."
and then pulled out action figures, and him and Stan Lee started playing like with action figures together. Like, that's something that Stan just, yeah, sure, let's do this.
Let's go. We're going to do that now. That's the thing we're going to do.
I always loved watching the celebrities, like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. meeting Stan for the first time. How like an A-list celebrity gets giddy over Stan Lee. It's just mind-boggling sometimes.
Because they read the books, and if they didn't, they had to. Sense of it, so they became fans.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure very fast as well.
I was gonna read a bunch of the celebrity tweets and posts about it, but what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna put those in the post.
Yeah,
just read those for yourself. They're really well done. I love that we now live in a day and age where all of these people, not only are they just saying like thank you for making a world that I got a chance to play in, but like that they own the fact that there are these characters. Like, I love Evangeline Lilly, who wrote, like, you
I'm
know,
sorry,
X. Did I say her name right?
Evangeline Lilly?
Yeah. Did I say her name right?
Yeah, you said it right.
Evangeline Lilly?
Who's that?
It's the Wasp.
Oh, okay.
You mean Fireside,
real,
bro?
I don't know her real name. She's the Wasp.
Well, she wrote, Stan, more than a master of stories, you always seemed like a master of living. I will look at you for inspiration for the rest of my life. You live on, XOXO, your Wasp.
What? That's a prime example. Like, somebody who's not me, when they see Robert Downey Jr., they're going to say that's Iron Man.
That's true.
They're not going to say that's Robert Downey Jr.
He's not wrong. And they own it now. Remember when we were growing up, people didn't want to be held, like, pigeonholed into roles?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't want to be, like, oh, I don't want to only be seen as that. Now they're like, give me that role, and I'll take it for the next 12 years. Yeah. I'm going to ride that wave until my knees give out.
The last person that did that was probably Christopher Reeves, a Superman. He owned that.
But even he didn't want to be known as Superman for a little while.
Yeah, well, you know.
But I love...
What are you going to do?
It was before... It was right around when Avengers 2 came out, and you had all the new movies announced and the actors there, and I think even, like, Channing Tatum was there for the...
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And then Stan Lee, like, told all of them, okay, we're going to get a picture now.
Oh, they did the big selfie thing?
They did the big selfie. Yeah. Like, the... control he had over all of those multi-million dollar celebrities.
He told them where to stand.
Yeah, when Stanley says we're getting a selfie and you're going to go over here, like seeing all those celebrities just kind of scoot around like, okay, Stanley wants me there and you there. Like, that shows the respect that he got from everyone. And it's not going to go away. This is not the end of Stanley.
No, I truly see him like a Disney. Like, I know it's almost cliche to say it at this point now that it's, you know, well, not for us, it's because it's still Tuesday, but at this point, I'm sure everybody said it throughout the week to a point where you're like, all right, we get it. He's like Disney, but he truly is.
No, he's immortal at this point. He's immortal.
Like, look, Disney had some horrible things about that, man, but he also created some wonderful things.
Yeah.
And Stan, I mean, look, don't know him personally, but I highly doubt there's any horrible things about that, man. Like, he is somebody I aspire to be like.
I talked, you know, at length the past couple of days. I am super grateful for the couple chances I've gotten to be in the presence of that, more than a man. I don't know what, like, he was just more than a person. And I got to just be next to him and kind of be in his energy for a little bit. And I'll never forget that.
That'll be one of my biggest regrets, I've been in a room with that man many, many times, and every time I saw that line, I went, it'll be next year. It'll be next year.
And for those of you who don't know, Menti doesn't do lines.
No.
Ever.
I hate lines.
Because he gets distracted after 3 seconds. Ooh, shiny.
I'm not even going to fight that. Like, yes. Don't want to be in that line. Yeah. So maybe one day I'll make it big enough where I can pay someone to be the line guy.
Well, at least you guys had chances.
You had chances.
You didn't have access to that?
We went to cons together that Stan was at. Yeah.
I wasn't there when he was there.
I'm going to fight you on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to fight you on that one, too.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure our first year at Wizard World, he was there when we were with the Emerging Gamer.
He was. I'll actually
put money that he was there. Right. I will bet you your next paycheck he was there.
No, you can't have my next paycheck.
Well, then how certain are you that you're right? Because I'm pretty certain.
Pull up the files.
You put your paycheck down?
I'm not putting my paycheck down.
I want to make sure it's recorded.
Guys, Stan wouldn't want you arguing.
It's true.
teaches you wrong.
There is only one way to celebrate what's next in a world without Stan Lee, and I think that's with his motto.
I think we're going to end it for the next like year with his motto. I think Deuces might get retired.
No, yeah, it has to.
Are we retiring Deuces?
Yeah. For a while. I might sprinkle them both in there from time to time if you guys go ahead and say it, but I feel like it should be said once every show now.
All right, so let's go through.
And, Excelsior.
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 Now we all have to try and do our Stan Lee impersonation.
Yeah, I feel like it became more and more Stan Lee-ish.
All right, you go first.
I can't. I've tried. Excelsior. I can't. Like, it's Excelsior.
That's pretty good.
Excelsior.
Yeah. Excelsior.
Ooh. Excelsior.
It's the same way.
I can't.
Excelsior!
Fighter Man. I got an idea for a character named Fighter Man.
Fighter Man Spite.
Like this, you know, they have the fight or flight instinct. He's got the fight.
Oh, God. I'm done.
On that note.
On that note.
Excelsior.
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 Deuces.